Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I am Tim, the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today we're going to talk about the Backpacker Murders. Serial killer Ivan Robert Marco Malat. This guy has four names.
Oh my God.
You know he was born to kill.
Yeah, he's a badass. He killed seven people, at least seven people, back in the 90s down there in Australia. Down there by Marvin and Allie and all of our Australian listeners. We're going to talk about his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I am pleased to welcome, as always, the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Mistress of the Macabre, Pill Poppin', Peanuts Lovin', Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
Good, Timmy. How are you?
I am well. Are you excited about this podcast?
I am so excited because I got a funny story, Chuck. So I know, right?
Is it a short one?
It is a very short one.
Okay.
So Timmy and I were
because you know I hate when she rambles on.
Yeah.
she has a tendency.
I ramble on. Anywho, so Timmy and I were in his office, of course, before you got to work, and we were talking about
noon, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. It was like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, but we were talking and. I said, oh, this really, there's this guy that, you know, they had this movie Wolf Creek, and it was based on him, and he said, oh, I think that I'm researching that guy, and as it turns out, it's the same guy, because we are right there.
Yeah.
Together.
Yes, we are. So, you're not there at all.
I'm not
here at all.
You're not there with us.
Nobody really asked my input for what we're going to do.
They just
tell me to show up.
You know, Chuck, some people are doers.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you guys are the movers and the shakers.
We are. But this is an interesting, it is an interesting story. And good one coming, since Halloween is coming up, it's just a creepy story. So we're going to talk about Ivan Malat. But before we do, let me introduce the third member of our panel, a man that really needs no introduction. He's perhaps the most dangerous man in podcasting today. A man of God, a man who has a strong moral compass, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I could not be better, Timmy. I could not be better.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, it's a Friday.
It is a Friday. It's
Saturday Eve.
Well, you know, and here's what surprises me, Timmy. Mm-hmm. We are on day what of your liquid diet?
Four.
We are on day four, and I do not have a puncture wound anywhere in my body.
She hasn't assaulted anyone. She's insulted.
Actually, she has assaulted someone, but I didn't witness it.
Okay.
If the police ask, I didn't witness it.
But we're still alive, and we haven't been.
We haven't been physically assaulted. Yeah.
How is that going? Your liquid diet.
It sucks ass.
Your mood's been incredibly upbeat, though, for what I was expecting.
Yeah. So that makes me wonder, are you eating cheeseburgers?
Nope.
It makes me wonder if you're taking Percocet.
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah, Brandy,
we're going to come up and visit you in the hospital.
After you have your procedure, air quotes, we're not calling it an operation, we're calling it a procedure. After you have your procedure, they're going to give you painkillers, and we're concerned about that. So I would like to
dispose of them.
I'm hearing voices. I would like to dispose of them. It's not unusual, but
yeah. But usually nobody else hears the voices.
Exactly.
So scary.
So
you will not get my Percocet.
That is just so mean of you.
Let me ask you this, Devil. When you picture yourself on that surgery table, do you picture you, because I keep picturing you like this, okay?
Like what?
Like they're going to go in and they're going to have a set of tweezers, and if they hit the wrong thing, your nose is going to glow.
Oh, kind of like the operation like the game.
The operation game.
Yeah.
If they hit the sides.
Where you had to take out the funny bone and, you know.
I don't think it's like that.
I hated that game.
Yeah, it was kind of a stupid game.
I don't think it's
you know like that. You know who made money? That guy made that. What was the game? Clarplunk? Where you pull out the...
Yeah, pull out the things with the marbles.
Yeah, that guy made a lot of money for that.
Well, I think a lot of people made a lot of money on games.
But about, Milton Bradley. He's a motherfucker. Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
You know that life game where you had to put the little people in the car?
Yeah, and you had to pick a... You know, why'd you have to pick a pink and a blue?
Well, what if you didn't identify as pink or blue?
Well, exactly. What if you was blue but identified as pink?
With markers.
And then, you know... It taught the wrong message because it showed if you didn't go to college, you were screwed.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was no way to win the game.
You're living proof of that, though.
Well, yeah. I am that cautionary tale.
Yeah. I don't want to say anything.
But you couldn't go back and go to college.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like
once you went over that little bridge,
game and then
it was over.
Go to college.
Yeah, you're going to end up with a carload of kids.
Carload of little rat bastard kids.
A carload of little Lannies.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to pay for college, Timmy, in life. You just had to take a longer route.
Right.
And if you became a doctor, you won the game. I mean, it was just, it was not like real life at all.
Yeah. It taught us all an important lesson, I guess.
Have you picked up more steps since we've been sitting here, Timmy?
No. He has, because, you know,
I'm at 14,700 and something.
Christ in a 26. Sidecar.
Okay, so let's get into the story, shall we? I'd like to give a shout out to those who support us on Patreon. We are extremely grateful for your
support. About to rock.
We're extremely grateful for those who support us on Patreon, and we want to give them a shout out. And that would be Alicia and Chip, Bridget, Jahara, Andrew Happ, Cindy Liu, Amber Scoville, Brandy McBride, of course, our good friend Charlie from the Insight Podcast, Jennifer Siemens, and Angelo. Thank you all very much for supporting us.
You know, I think when we say Jennifer, we just got to lump Jennifer and Linda together. They're kind
of
a pair.
They are. Thank you both, Linda and Jennifer. If you would like to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little or a lot. And, Colonel, what would we be happy if
they... We'd be happy with just a wee bit, Timmy. Just a wee bit, Timmy.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about the backpacker murders and serial killer Ivan Milat. This was a series of murders that occurred in Australia back in the 90s. This guy was a pretty sick dude. Ivan Robert Marco Milat was born in Australia on December 27, 1944. So what would that mean, Colonel?
December 27th?
Yes.
Oh, his mom was miserable during Christmas.
Yeah, she was pregnant during the holidays, that's for sure. But she should have been used to it because Ivan was one of 14 children.
Holy God, you imagine the labias on that
She's
woman.
She's the iron vagina.
Iron vagina.
She got labias hanging down to her knees there.
Well, I don't know. You know, they probably just kind of flew out there at the end.
Well, they walked out.
You know, they had a little. The doctor had a catcher's mitt and face mask on, and
probably put a little smelling salt, and she just sneezed, and that was it. But anyway, they lived outside of Sydney. They lived in a rural area, and they kind of kept to themselves. The whole family.
They were loners.
Yeah, well, they had practically their own state.
So the information we got from most of them is the information I was able to find was most of it was kind of dependent on the family. So who knows whether or not this is all accurate or not. But I seen his brother in a long interview, and his brother seems like he's like this Ken Bone guy. He just likes being on TV, and you know he wants to
leave Ken Bone alone.
You know, dude, he said that he there's something online where Ken Bone was talking about. He got a vasectomy so he could do his wife bareback. Just a picture of that, man. Just like, yeah.
He's not married.
I don't know. Are you sure he's not married?
No, I'm not sure.
Right. Anyway, his brother does a lot of these interviews. So his brother, it ended up that Ivan Milat had an affair with his brother, so...
Hold on.
Some of this you...
Had an affair with his brother?
I'm sorry. Had an affair with his brother's wife.
Okay. That's a little less skeevy.
Really?
It was still pretty skeevy, though. But anyway, so what I'm saying is, I don't know if that has affected his...
judgment?
Yeah, you know, or what he says about Ivan, but he seems to... He's not fond
of Ivan.
Yeah, he seems to be quoted all over the place. So he's apparently willing to talk about his brother. You know, he likes the attention, I think. But, you know, that's my opinion.
So he banged his brother's wife.
Yeah, I'll get to that.
He'll get to it. He's allowed to bring
it
up.
Are we talking about Boner, or are we talking about the killer here?
No, Ivan Milat, not Ken Boner. I don't know. Had read online that Ken Boner had a vasectomy and had stated he had a vasectomy so he could bear back his wife.
We all have vasectomies so we could bear back our wives. Yeah, I mean, that's the only reason to have a vasectomy.
Then I got this image of him barebacking. That's the thing.
I mean, why do you think I have...
You think he wears the red sweater when he's barebacking his wife?
I don't know. He's on Boneback Mountain.
All right.
God, so Boneback Mountain. I'm telling you, some porn place wanted to do the Bone Zone.
He's selling T-shirts. He's got merch.
There was a place that did like a sexy Halloween Ken Bone Halloween costume. $99 sold out.
Yeah, I'm saying he better cash in on it because in about 3 weeks,
people hopefully gonna forget him.
Yeah.
Although you know what, he reminds me. You'll remember this, Timmy, because I'm gone blank, and I swear I would never forget the guy's last name. It was Bart
Simpson.
No, he's the one that interfered with the foul ball with the Cubs.
Oh yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah,
he had to go into hiding and everything else.
He'll be, I'm sure he's rooting for the Cubs to win this World Series.
Yeah, I hope those bastards go down in flames.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping the Cubs win just because I...
Oh, not me. Not me.
Just because of Bill Murray. I like Bill Murray.
Well, Tanner lives, you know, my son lives right in Wrigleyville.
Yeah, he lives in the north side.
No, I mean, it's Wrigleyville.
Yeah,
Chicago's got their neighborhoods, and it's called, the north side in Wrigleyville, and he's right next to the stadium.
So anyway, Boris gives a lot of interviews, so that's where a lot of this information comes.
His name's Boris?
Yeah. It's Ivan's brother.
Toys Moose and Squirrel.
Ivan and Boris. According to Boris, Ivan exhibited psychiatric problems early on. Although other family members dispute this. So I don't know if this is Boris's, it's his version of it. But anyway, Milat has been described as a good-looking, muscular boy who had a fascination with hunting and guns and was very, very self-conscious about his appearance. So he was always neat, very well-groomed. And the whole thing about him... It runs through what this whole story is that he really liked being in control of things. So his parents were
Who's very... Who's that remind you of, Devil?
Right.
His parents were very hardworking and strict. They had 14 children to manage, after all.
Yeah, they were working pretty damn hard.
They needed to find a new hobby.
They worked hard, they played hard.
Clearly.
They were disciplinarians. Were
they industrious?
But they also had a reputation, him and his brothers, of being in trouble with the law as they were growing up. And they were kind of the bad seeds of that neighborhood or area where they lived.
as much seed as got spread around, I think that
yeah
going to be some bad seed.
The family endured yeah numerous police visits to their farm as the children grew older. Ivan was a bully in school, and he often bullied his weaker siblings. Ivan had a strong desire to always be in control of himself and of others, those around him.
Hmm.
Unlike most of his friends and family, Ivan did not smoke, drink alcohol, or do drugs. So he didn't have issues with substances.
That's
again, it goes back to
control.
Control, always being mm-hmm in control. As I said, he maintained a neat and polished appearance at all times. I mentioned his father was very strict. With 14 children to manage, it was difficult to keep them all in line. I have repeated myself, I think.
I believe you have.
His father taught the children to use guns at an early age. His father built a target range on their property.
Nice.
So Ivan could practice shooting all day long. By the age of 8, when he got his first shotgun, Ivan was average shooting up to 20 birds a day. He also went hunting and shot small game. Ivan did well in school, but was always in fights. He was always seen to love bullying younger, weaker children.
Bullying?
Yeah, and really, if you're going to bully...
That's who you bully.
Yeah, you don't bully stronger...
Don't bully the big kids.
Yeah.
They'll whip your ass.
Yeah. So that's a smart move on his part.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Ivan.
From the age of 17, Ivan was constantly in trouble. I read where he took a part-time job, and his boss kind of liked him to, you know, whatever. And he was saving up money to buy a car, and his boss, decided to be a good guy and co-signed a loan so he could get a car.
Oh, that was his bad.
Yeah, he never saw Ivan again. He stopped coming to work, and then I guess they had some confrontations and fights and shit. So, and the other Malat children would go to this guy's, and if you, I don't know if you did this when you were younger, but rock someone's house, you know, you throw rocks and pound their house with rocks. Well, that's what the Malat kids apparently done to this.
God, they're all little rat fuckers.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the whole family seemed to be in trouble one time or another with the law. By the age of 17, he was constantly in trouble with the police and the courts, and charges ranged from breaking into homes, car theft, and armed robbery. When he was 20, his younger sister... Yeah, this is kind of fucked up. When Ivan was 20, his younger sister, Margaret, who was 16, died in a terrible car accident near the family home. Ivan was the first family member to the scene. He held his sister. She was covered in blood, and he had to hold her for 25 minutes until the ambulance arrived. Apparently, they called the ambulance once, and they never sent anyone out. And so they called again, and finally they got someone out there. She went in the hospital, and she died a few days later. So that kind of impacted Ivan a lot. He never spoke about his sister again after this incident. And people who knew Ivan knew not to raise the subject to him, unlike the colonel, who will always talk about dead people. It seemed to be a turning point in young Ivan's life. After that, he kept mostly to himself. He worked a number of jobs in construction, but he developed very few relationships outside his immediate family. So what happens next, Brandy?
Another major event in Ivan's life is when he had an affair with his brother Boris's wife.
Yeah, that would be a major event, wouldn't you say there, Colonel?
It'd be pretty disconcerting.
You know, why would you bang your brother's wife when there's a lot of women out there, especially in Australia. Hell, they have hot women down there. Why would you be banging? You know, you could bang anyone else.
Well, I mean, she was hot and available.
Okay. Brandy, tell us more.
Well, so, yeah, this family's severely dysfunctional because upon learning of the affair, Ivan's father encouraged Boris to kill Ivan.
Well, you know.
you ain't got a hair what if you don't go over there and slit his sack and run his leg through it.
Well, I mean, you know, he was probably torn. He probably was torn between trying.
Doesn't sound torn. I mean, it's pretty. That's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
I feel like he's picked a side. I think he's picked a side.
All right.
So, a violent fight ensued, with each brother receiving stitches. The woman eventually decided to keep her family together and stay with Boris. And Ivan never really got over it.
Boris was the winner.
Oh, Boris was winner, winner, chicken dinner.
God bless Boris.
But Ivan never got over it. In 1971, when he was 27, Ivan was put on trial for the alleged rape of two female hitchhikers who testified that he had been armed with a knife during the attacks. He promised not to kill them if they agreed to have sex with him.
That sounds fair.
Yeah.
That sounds like a typical rapist line to me.
Yeah.
It's a pretty tried and true. Here, I got a knife. I won't kill you if you have sex with me. See, me, I go through.
I want to be grabbed him by the pussy.
If you're married,
that works.
You got to jump through all kinds of hoops. It's like I have my check direct deposited.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take you out to dinner on Friday. I'll do the dish. Yeah, I can vacuum if you have sex with me. So
it is. Yeah. Well, if you pull out the knife, you don't have all that discussion back.
Exactly.
It's a take it or leave it proposition. Yeah.
It's like that meme you posted. Why haggle on price with the prostitute when you know you're going to kill him?
Right.
Okay. So the girls were able to distract Ivan long enough to escape. Did you take more steps?
No.
Okay.
I swear to God, are you looking for a vein? What are you doing over there? I was
looking at the time.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
You're about to rape. You got two women. And rape's not funny in any circumstance.
Rape is not funny. We do not support
rape. What the fuck could distract you?
I don't know.
Hey, look over there.
I mean, I'm just thinking.
You got distracted by a shiny in the middle of a business meeting.
Yeah, but that wasn't two naked women. But I'm just saying, what the hell could distract you?
He's wondering what's
maybe. It was a dango.
A knife, track these girls.
Maybe it
down.
Was a kangaroo.
Maybe a kangaroo wanted to whoop his ass.
I just don't.
A wombat.
It doesn't.
It's fucking wombats.
Wombats are scary as fuck.
It doesn't seem like he was that committed to this crime.
Well,
koala bear. I mean, there's all kinds of things down there.
But wait a minute.
Oh, they got those the great white sharks?
Crocodiles.
Well, Ivan learned an important lesson from this because...
What did he learn?
Well, I'm going to tell you. He was acquitted of the rape charges when the prosecution failed to make a convincing case. But his lesson that he took away was... Wasn't that not do it again or anything? It was never leave witnesses, which is smart.
Well, yeah. It is smart.
I wonder if he had that tattooed on his arm or something.
Yeah,
which is smart. That's like people who take pictures of them doing dumb shit. What the fuck are you doing, dude? That's called evidence.
Yeah. But you know, and what was his defense?
It's never really gone.
It's like I didn't even have my pants off and they ran away. I mean, you know what I mean?
I got
distracted. I got a text. I don't know.
Right.
So I was checking Facebook, and I know it was gone.
Playing
Candy Crush.
Ivan continues to make good
choices. Bitches be testifying.
Exactly. Ivan made another... continues to make great choices. It's a minute after you checked your... last
time. We got Fitbits. And, of course, you know they're on your wrist. Or me and Timmy have the same ones on our wrist.
But we don't have the same one. We have the same model.
We have the same model.
I have one and you have one. We don't have one big Fitbit.
Okay, I didn't know that we needed to make that distinction. But, yes, okay, we do. Mr. Semantics. But, anyway... As we're doing this show, Timmy has not gotten out of the chair, yet he will continue to tap his Fitbit.
It's sinking!
To see how many steps he's got.
Jeez. Continue, Brandy.
Okay, so...
There is one producer of this show, and he is wearing a Fitbit.
I'm wearing a Fitbit.
I'm wearing one that works.
Mine works.
Well, it hasn't yet. The same amount of steps that you had 3 hours ago.
Wow, okay.
Because I've been sitting here, motherfucker. I don't expect it to magic. See, if I sit down with 3,000 steps.
This guy starts with 3,000 steps and he ends with 3,012.
Here's the problem. If you look, Timmy's like a duck. Look under the surface and his little legs are just going to town.
No,
No, I'm saying this guy here. This guy.
This guy.
This guy. This guy.
He buys a Fitbit because he wants to track his steps. He doesn't take more than 2,800 steps a day. His steps is to his office, to the restroom, to your office to do the podcast, and to his car in the parking lot. That's his steps.
I get my 10,000 steps every day.
Month. You get 10,000 a month.
I get 10,000. Because Renee keeps... My wife is in a competition with me. And
I bet she's winning.
Of course. Yeah, because she walks like a damn...
Sherry's in competition with me, and I swear to God, I'm thinking I'm winning. And then she's like, no, she's like 9,000 steps
ahead of me. Does she live in New York?
Long Island.
Long Island?
Long Island.
All right, that's how we say it there. Ivan continues to make great choices because he married a 17-year-old pregnant girl named Mary.
Oh! Well, let me say this.
Could you see my steps for yesterday?
Yes.
Is it over 10,000? Almost 11,000.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
82 minutes.
For yesterday?
Yes.
How many did that say? Oh, 19,728.
I didn't say that.
How many active minutes
did it say? It says 14,000.
No, that's
something.
Today.
Well, I didn't see. Not, I didn't see yesterday.
No, it's 18,000.
So. How many active minutes is 10?
The fuck, dude, he's psychotic.
Okay.
Can we get on with
crazy.
This? Because I need to go to a chiropractor's appointment.
Okay. Right. Well,
so he married this 17-year-old pregnant girl named Mary. I don't know if that was his kid or not.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
She was pregnant with another man. The guy left when he found out she was pregnant, so Ivan married her.
All right.
Here's a question I have for you.
Trying to be a good guy.
He didn't like the kid, though.
Do you purposely leave this stuff out of the script?
So you can be smart. Yeah.
No, because you guys bitched at the script for too long.
I mean, she was pregnant by somebody that she was like Mary. It was just an immaculate conception.
No, I said he met and married a 17-year-old pregnant girl.
Their relationship was rocky at best, with many allegations of abuse.
Yeah, to Colonel, talk a little bit, because, you know...
No, I've been talking a little bit. It's my fucking turn to talk, so we can get through this shit.
I was married. I never had, you know, we never had children. And I've never been with a pregnant woman.
What?
See, with the twins, now Renee had to be on bed rest for 23 hours a day.
Why is this a topic right now?
Well, I'm just curious of his experience with...
Didn't fuck a fat girl. It's the same fucking thing.
What is wrong with you?
Well, Jesus Christ.
I
have done that.
I have done that myself. But I have to tell you, I find pregnant women very, very erotic to me. Very erotic.
They're really sexy.
The problem with pregnant women is...
Well, first of all, they're going to be younger.
I'm going to try and drown myself.
Yeah, they're going to be younger because the
innards... Although Janet Jackson's pregnant at 50.
The innards hasn't all dried up.
She's 50 years old, man.
Yeah, but that was some kind of
scientific
experiment.
The kid's
going to
be in high school, and she's going to be, you know, like in a...
She'll still be hot at 60.
She'll be in a retirement center.
But I'll tell you this. This is a curse of the pregnancy, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
The boobs... Which, you know, Mrs. Colonel's already ample.
Jesus Christ.
They swell and they become so just
succulent.
Inviting and succulent. Yeah, I mean, it's just, and they're so tender, you're not allowed to touch them.
That's the paradox.
It is a paradox.
Yeah.
It's the perfect boobs that you can't touch.
Yeah, that almost seems cruel.
It is cruel.
Yeah.
It is cruel.
Okay, Brandy, please continue.
Oh, did we decide to get back to this now?
Yeah, back to Ivan Milot, backpacker murderer.
It seems to me that the liquid diet is getting too early.
Yeah.
She
would love
it. It couldn't be you sons of bitches.
You're getting a little snippy.
Bet she would love a slice of Papa John pizza right now. Man.
Somebody going to get stabbed, Timmy, and I'm closest. Now stop it.
Sand. She likes pizza.
I had pizza for lunch.
Mary had had enough.
Pizza in 1 month.
Really?
Mary had had enough, and she moved out because I don't know if you all remembered this from, you know, when they interrupted and started going off about boobs.
There was abuse.
But there was abuse. Ivan was abusive to Mary. She left him, so now he's just brooding alone.
She was not committed to this relationship.
He also did not like the kid because the kid wasn't his.
Okay.
Little bastard.
Well, the driving force behind all of Ivan's actions was being in control, and it was times when he could no longer control events that he lashed out and looked for situations that he could control.
Yeah, this kind of...
Who does that sound like?
This kind of this put him over the edge. Like he could,
you know, he went over the edge at times.
Did he? No. Did he?
I'm saying,
did he get his bag and go home?
His Boris's wife, of course, and then she
left him.
She stayed. Yeah, she stayed with Boris. I'm sure that was turned out to be a better choice.
Oh, clearly.
And
God, I hope her name was Natasha.
And then he had his own little pregnant wife.
Yep, Mary left.
And Mary leaves, so now he has no one to control.
There has been much speculation about the true number of Malott's victims, given that he has always maintained his innocence, but the luckiest of them was certainly British backpacker Paul Onions. Really?
I know. The guy, I can't help the guy's name.
He just chopped down the scallops.
No, I mean, I just want to make sure.
He cleared out a whole garden of scallops. I need to make
sure. Like, that's really his name.
It is really his name. I saw the guy interview. And the thing here that's not in the script is that Boris claims. Boris claims that Ivan was bisexual. Although Ivan denies it.
And is there any proof to that?
Well, he killed both men and women, which is unusual for a serial killer.
Was there any anal tearing?
Not that I saw in my research.
Not that he saw.
But he picked up this guy. He picks up Paul Onions.
Okay, so he's got Paul Onions. All right. Onion. Who was hitchhiking south from Sydney in search of work. Mr. Onions was picked up. Poor thing. Was picked up by Malott on January 25th, 1990.
The year the Reds won the World Series last.
There was, yeah.
1990.
Was he traveling with Mr. Lettuce and Tomato?
No. Paul Onions had arrived in Australia, eager to see the country about which he'd heard so much about.
I don't think it left a favorable impression. Well,
he stayed at a modest backpacker hostel in Sydney's King's Cross, spending his time seeing the sights and generally having a good time partying with his friends. As his money dwindled, his thoughts turned to part-time work. His visa was good for 6 months, but his money looked like it was running out before that time expired. He asked about the city, but found casual work hard to come by. One of his friends suggested fruit picking. If your name's Onions, I don't think you should pick fruit.
You should pick vegetables.
I bet it makes his mom cry all the time.
You know what? I wonder if when they chopped him up, they started crying.
Maybe he is not. He doesn't get chopped up.
All right. So after making further inquiries about fruit picking, he learned that most of the work was in the Riverina district, several hundred miles south. He decided to save the cost of fare by taking the train to Liverpool, southwest of Sydney, and thought he'd hitchhike from there.
See, one thing I've learned in these podcasts, don't hitchhike.
Hitchhiking is a bad plan. On the 25th of January, 1990, he set out early for the station and was soon standing on the side of the Hume Highway in Liverpool waiting for a ride. The heat was searing as he stood trying to flag down a suitable southbound vehicle.
Don't make fun of my...
He can tell you that the heat's searing, but he can't tell you that the woman had a baby.
And I bet Mr. Onions was searing as well.
Sauteing.
Yeah. I bet he stinks when he gets in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Warm onions are bad.
They are bad.
The poor guy cannot help his name.
Hold on. His only possession in this world were a small pack containing a Sony Walkman, a camera, and a couple items of clothing. Motherfucker don't have no snacks. he don't have no water.
You know, if you're traveling and you're starting to run low on cash, why did your thoughts turn to finding a job? Why wouldn't your thoughts turn to going back home?
Right. I think it was a good time partying. So he walks south, desperate.
Well, everyone loves to party with an onion.
Well.
You haven't partied until you party with an onion.
Actually, garlic's better.
Well, yeah, but they're so rare, you know.
He walks south desperately trying to thumb a ride.
Garlics won't party very much, but when they do, forget
they'll crush it.
Yeah.
They'll crush it.
Stopping at a small shopping center, he bought a drink, there you go, and was seriously contemplating returning to the hostel when a fit, well-muscled man approached him and asked in a distinctive Australian accent, "You need a lift?"
Hello, mate. I wonder if he said mate.
Hello, mate.
I don't know.
Paul told him, I bet he said mate.
Pa told him of his destination. Well, it's not quoted here. And he accepted the offer of a ride gladly.
How about I give you a ride and sodomize you real good there, mate?
Well, initially, Ivan was very friendly. Introduced himself as Bill.
Oh, oh, and this Malott had the has a porn stash, too.
Smart. But Onions found... Wait a minute, here we go. But Onions found Malott's personal questions about his plans unnerving. And he became concerned for his safety when Malott began ranting and making racist and xenophobic remarks.
When you're going to need that beer when you're dead?
Right. When Ivan pulled his car to the side of the road, Onions tried to get out, but he was planted in place.
He planted the onion right there.
You must admit, I paint a picture on these.
So when he pulled off the side of the road, he tried to get out.
He does have a nice porn stash.
But Malott pulled out a revolver and
see
told
his porn stash?
Oh, I saw his sweet.
He got the Fu Manchu on there.
Let's see. Put out a revolver and told him to put on his seatbelt.
Strap in, bitch.
Yeah, it's going to be a bumpy ride. Onions managed to bolt for safety, leaving his backpack, yeah, his socks and his Walkman. He left those, which contained all of his
Walkman. I mean,
but also had his passport, which is a bigger problem. Despite Ivan's threat that he would shoot him, he managed to flag down a passing car, which took him to the nearest police station so he could report the incident.
Let me tell you how this all occurred, just so you have a picture.
I was reading it.
Well, let me tell you, though, because it's not
right
in here. This onion
not
guy.
It's not in there.
This onion guy, he had been in the military. So when he ran, Colonel, you appreciate this.
Zigzag.
He's zigzag.
Zigzag.
Yeah. Yeah,
serpentine.
So, yeah.
Now, I learned that from watching Cars.
Now, in some places I read that Ivan actually fired a couple shots off at him, but in other places I read he just kind of laughed and just let him go. So, take your pick. Wait, pick your poison.
I mean, do you really want to mess with a guy named Onions? Because your eyes aren't going to work.
Well, if you're Ivan, if your name is Ivan, and you've got four names, you can't really, you know...
You can't be picky.
You can't cast stones, that's all I'm saying.
All right, so... Onions returned to Sydney to replace the missing passport and eventually returned to the UK, not yet aware of his narrow escape.
Wait a minute,
he was.
Can you imagine going to the consulate office and getting a new passport and they say, name please?
Yeah.
Onion.
They're going to believe that because nobody would come up with that shit. All right. The first of Ivan's less fortunate victims to be discovered were British backpackers Caroline Clark and Joanne Walters.
Yeah, these very attractive young ladies. They're
if they were ugly, it'd have been less tragic. Or
no,
I don't
it was tragic. I'm just saying.
Okay, because I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, I saw their parents interviewed, and they were the one lady Walters. She was the only daughter of this couple. They never had any other children. Tragic.
Let's see. So they were found in an area off. An area of the Belangelo State Forest.
Yeah, that's where all the bodies were found.
Known as Executioner's Drop. By
hikers.
Yeah. Who were out there on their weekly run. Yeah. Orienteering enthusiasts? What the fuck is that?
What?
You couldn't just goddamn say hikers? Fucking orienteering enthusiasts? What the fuck is that? What the fuck does that even mean? What the shit? You can't just put hikers.
I'm pretty
fuck
sure.
Me run
hold
it.
On, Bear. Devil.
What?
I'm pretty sure that orienting has something to do with birds. I bet they're fucking bird watchers.
I don't know. I didn't say orienteering.
No, orientologist or something.
An old laryngologist or whatever.
Doesn't matter. Some people were out in the woods and they find the bodies.
It matters because you throw this fucking phrase out and it's bullshit and try to make me say it.
Ornithologist, I think,
yes,
is the word.
Something, I don't know. Or that might be an ear, nose, and throat guy. All right. So they were found in September.
Ear, nose, and throat doctors are known to go out hiking on the weekends.
Well, they've been known to, yes. So they were out on their weekly run.
Ornithology is a branch of zoology that concerns the study of birds. Does
that's
it sound
not
like
it.
Ornithology
no,
in there?
No, it does not.
It's
orienteering. Orienteering enthusiasts.
So, like, when you go to an orientation...
That's what I thought. They just like going. Like,
they're just hikers.
They have badges on. Yeah,
they just love going to orientations.
Yeah. Okay.
Job would, every week.
Do you want to know what it is?
No, I don't
know. I'm going to tell you because our audience wants to know. It's a group of sports that requires navigational skills using maps and compass to navigate from point to point in diverse and unfamiliar terrain.
So it's just bullshit. People like to live off the land.
So you just drop. It's like some, you drop. It's like naked and afraid. You drop some motherfucker off somewhere. It's like naked and
afraid.
And say, get here. It's not easy.
So these people were out there orientating.
Or disorientating.
Whichever. And they find the bodies. That's
on September 19th, 1992. This location was not far from the area where the attack on Paul Onions had occurred just 2 years earlier. Both girls had been missing since May of that year when they teamed up to look for work south of Sydney. The girls' parents in the United Kingdom had been concerned because they'd not heard from the girls and had flyers... The girls' parents in the United Kingdom had been concerned because they had not heard from the girls, had flyers distrusted across America or Australia.
Okay, so what happened...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What, had flyers distrusted across Australia? What the fuck does that mean? Like distributed?
Distributed. What happened
was... Why didn't
you
write distributed?
It was a typo. One of the girls in England, I saw her parents in England, and she'd always wanted to go to Australia, so she goes, and she would always call to check in, especially on, like, holidays or birthdays. Somebody in her family had a birthday and she didn't call, so they become concerned. They couldn't find her, obviously, because they were across, and they're in England, and she was hiking, backpacking in Australia. So they distributed flyers in the backpackers' hotels across the country to locate her.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Well, maybe you should put some of that shit in the script.
Well, thank Jesus that worked out. Yeah.
She went through all that just for flyers. A wee bit just more tense than I gave her credit Joanne for.
Walters. I bet she'd like to have.
Oh, no. I have this thing here that looks like a syringe that would fit nicely in your fucking jugular. So I suggest you shut your claptrap and let me fucking read this shit that you've written.
Some Oreo cookies. Good word.
To hurt you.
Fuckers. Right. I'm just saying they're better than this.
I'm just saying.
I had my choice.
God, shut your face hole and let me get through this.
I can't believe you went there.
I'm screwing up your script.
Well, if you're reading,
I'm screwing up your
flyers distributed. Everyone, you would know that when you're looking at. If you read through that,
you would say,
"Wait,
I don't know what an orienteering enthusiast
you
are."
If you read it, you could have Googled it like I just did.
Why the fuck would I need to Google?
Would you like for me to define it?
Would I like for you to shut your fucking hole?
You know what this is like to me? It's like Lindsay Lohan trying to do Shakespeare.
That's what it really is.
Is it? His side is the one you're going to take right now? That's fine, cocksuckers. That's fine. All right. So the girl's parents passed out flyers. But the bitches were dead.
Shit. You can't say anything bad about me.
So Joanne was found first.
Apologize.
Shut up. Joanne was found first, and she'd been stabbed repeatedly, including one wound to her spine that was believed might have paralyzed her.
While yeah, apparently he did that a lot.
The killer.
Apparently.
I might get to it.
All right.
Okay, while the killer continued his vicious attack. Zip of her jeans had been undone. What do they call it? Head on a stick?
When you
sever the spine?
I guess it makes them paralyzed.
And then they can't do anything. Yeah. It sucks. The zipper in her jeans had been undone, but the top button was still fastened, as if she'd been partly stripped and sexually assaulted, then buttoned up hastily after the attack. Her remains were too badly decomposed to actually establish whether a sexual attack had occurred. Her body was found in a sexually explicit position.
Yeah, he
posed them.
Yeah, like most serial killers will do a lot of serial killers.
Caroline Clark's body was found the next day about 70, I'm going to go with yards instead of years, it's written.
It's yards 70 yards, and you know what I
from
find?
From where Joanne Walters had been found.
I find that weird. I find it weird.
Stop!
That they didn't see it right then?
Yeah.
That's my dear departed mama name, Joanne Walters.
No, this isn't her.
No. She was a backpacker.
She was not.
I don't think she was.
She died. Does this woman die of consumption?
No. She died of stab wounds and had been shot in the head 10 times.
10 times?
She also...
That's an angry motherfucker right
she
there.
She also had a similar spinal wound to Walters. 4 bullets that remained inside her skull were preserved for forensic analysis, and detectives were confident they'd be able to use these to track the weapon responsible.
Just, can I stop this for a minute? If you're going to use the names of my mama and my dead relatives and getting
really,
killed,
yeah.
Could you put trigger warnings in there for me, Timmy?
We're just really doing that to fuck with you. Wait till your brother goes to prison here. Wait a minute.
Here's the thing. But I'm the mean one. But I'm being testy.
Well, you are being testy. You can't help it. We understand. You're on a liquid diet. And you can't have nothing like, like wafer bars or Snickers. A big bag of chips. Popcorn.
Pop-Tarts.
Anything like that.
Pretzels.
Pretzels, definitely. Yeah, pretzels.
I'm going to rip your head off and shit down your neck.
He said pretzels.
He said M&M's. I'm just thinking of stuff she usually has around.
Yeah. You won't be needing that. So ready to
rip your head off and shit down your neck.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to be supportive.
Clearly.
You know, it's kind of like heaven.
I'm on a diet, too. I'm not eating pizza. I'm not eating a cheeseburger. You don't see me going around snapping at people.
No.
You know, the only person you could actually do this with is your sister. Because somebody else would kill you.
God damn.
Or somebody.
Shit down your neck. All right, so a primitive brick fireplace had been constructed near the bodies, and cigarette butts and a spent .22 caliber cartridge case were also recovered from the scene.
So he made a little...
He made himself a home.
A little fire.
The extensive search of the surrounding areas produced no more bodies at that time, and the possibility that a serial killer was on the loose, although speculated in the press, was denied by the police authorities. Despite the abundance of forensic evidence, police made little progress over the following weeks and sought the assistance of a forensic psychiatrist, Dr. Rod Milton. He concluded that the killer was in his mid-30s, lived or worked in the area with a history of aggression, was familiar with the surrounding terrain, and motivated by the pleasure of being in control and inflicting pain. He believed the killer would be poor or working class and have a long criminal history. Police progress continued to be slow as all leads were painstakingly followed, including a thorough investigation of all suspicious disappearances over the past decade. The discovery of a second set of bodies in October of 1993 injected new life into a case that had been stale despite the best investigative efforts. The badly decomposed remains of those were those of Australian nationals James Gibson and Deborah Everest. They had gone missing in 1989. Well, shit.
Yeah, so he had...
Despite the environmental damage wrought on the clothing, Gibson's zipper was intact. It was open, but with the top button fastened, again, in a similar manner to Joanne Walters. Post-mortem examination.
Could you just say Mrs. Walters, please?
Really? Won't that remind you of your mom more?
Miss W.
Yeah.
Trigger warnings.
Yeah, I know, trigger honey. Warnings. I'm trying to be sensitive to your bullshit. Post-mortem examinations again revealed paralyzing spinal knife wounds inflicted in a similar manner to the earlier British victims. Crime scene similarities included a small fireplace built near the bodies, making the police more certain that they were dealing with the same killer. And Superintendent Clive Small.
Clive. Nice. Man, you ain't getting no pussy if your name is Clive.
No. I don't
that
know.
That is not a panty dropper name.
I don't know. Clive's pretty high.
But Small?
Well...
it could be Richard Small. That would be your
one. He gets more ass than onions.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. He was, so Clive was placed he was put in charge of the investigation and set up a large task force. A massive manual search of the extended,
the force there, the state
that area, was initiated. Bellangano, Gonlo?
Yeah.
It took almost a month before the next victim was found on November 1st. German national Simone Schmidl had been missing since January of 1991 when she'd been planning to hitchhike south from Sydney in search of work. The trademark fireplace and discarded 22 shells were close by. There was no doubt she'd fallen victim to the same killer, showing the now familiar spinal injury. 3 days later, the exhaustive search yielded the final two victims. German nationals Anja Hapschied and her boyfriend Gabor Neugenbauer.
Gabor.
Who had been missing since just after Christmas in 1991. The boy's jeans had been unzipped with the button fastened, and he'd been strangled as well as shot numerous times. The recovered bullets were a perfect match to previous crime scenes. The girl's body was missing its skull completely, which appeared to have been severed by a machete or sword.
Damn.
Yeah, so...
I know, right?
Yeah.
Let's see if you can get a little further than I did.
Well, let's see here.
So now they have seven bodies.
Seven bodies. Now, given the new bodies, Superintendent Small was forced to admit to the media...
I call him Clive.
That the police were looking for a serial killer, confirming what many already believed. A wide range of methods was employed by this killer, including beating, strangulation, shooting, stabbing, and decapitation.
There you go.
As well as his sexual assault of both male and female victims.
So it was about
made
control.
It difficult to narrow down the suspect list there, Timmy.
Well, what do you do when you have a bisexual serial killer? I mean, that's three for a loop.
Yeah, it's just not kosher, I don't believe, Timmy.
Make a stand.
Choose
a side.
Yeah.
You always say that, yeah. Choose a side. Is that what you
always say? I have said choose a side. I get confused easily.
The police considered the Malat family as suspects early on, considering they was known outlaws. And their obsession with weapons and whatnot. Now, investigators will be able to determine alibis for all the Malat men except for Ivan.
Yeah, I mean, as Brandy said, they get the criminal psychologist come in, and he says, forensic psychologist, and he says, the guy, this is going to be a guy, he's going to be, gives him his, younger guy, he's going to have a criminal record, he's going to know the area, live in the area. And this family is always in trouble, so naturally they checked them out.
But without any real evidence, they could not obtain a search warrant. So they instead set up a hotline for potential witnesses to contact if they had any information on the voices on the victims of their assailant. But the police were hampered by the sheer volume of calls from concerned citizens and from a large number of pervs who just wanted to talk to the ladies on the task force.
That is not true.
Okay, I just thought maybe you was leaving something out of the script and trying to fill it in that to me.
No, but remember this time, Paul Onion was already back in England.
He was.
Yeah. So anyway, they swamped it with information. None of the really early information was helpful. Now, the hotlines paid off, however, Timmy. In April of 1994, when Mr. Onion, the only one of Malott's victims to escape, contacted Australian authorities from his home in England with information about the 1990 attack.
Yeah, he saw...
He's kind of... would you call that an attack, really?
Well, he saw it on... CNN or something, international news, and then, because he wasn't aware of it, and then, he knew that was the place where he was almost killed, so...
Yeah, I call it more of a threat than an attack.
But anyway, it got him a free trip over to Australia.
Yeah, his account was corroborated by an independent call from the woman who had rescued Mr. Onions. And had driven him to the police station, and police recognized quickly that if Onions could identify Ivan as the attacker there, maybe they could tie him to the other murders. So Onions got on a plane and was sent to Australia, where he identified Ivan from a video lineup, giving police the excuse they needed to get a search warrant. Now, a simultaneous raid was carried out in the early hours of May 22nd, which revealed a huge amount of evidence against Ivan to the crimes, including personal effects of many of the victims, including clothing, sleeping bags, and other camping equipment.
Now, someone who was more, who was smarter, would have got rid of that stuff. But then again, that he wanted a trophy, right? That's how serial killers, they always like their trophies.
Yeah, why can't they just take pictures or something and encrypt them and put them in a hidden file on their computer or something? That seems like the smarter thing to do.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't give them the same.
Yeah, you can't rub a picture up against your wiener. They probably you think he's taking a camping bag.
Oh, you can do that.
Why? You can pretty much rub anything. You don't want to rub a cheese grate against your wiener, but
no, not a cheese grate.
Yeah,
no. Brandy, on the other hand, would love a cheese cone.
Same. I know you are.
We're just looking out for you, devil.
Piece of shit.
We're supporting you.
We are supporting you.
Way. Are you allowed to drink soda?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tim knows goddamn fool well she can't drink soda.
No, I didn't know, actually. I didn't. You said liquid.
He also knows that her favorite thing in the world is Coke.
I'm sorry.
I wish we could be doing live right now so you could see.
No, I really did not know.
Shut the fuck up now.
All right.
Now, they found parts of a disassembled weapons, including a .22 caliber rifle. Now, a long, curved cavalry sword suitable for the beheading of Anja was found in a locked cupboard at the home of Ivan's mother. Mm-hmm. Now, while searching the property, police recognized a football jersey being worn by one of Ivan's visitors as being the same jersey Joanne Walters.
Good God.
Joanne Walters, my mama, was wearing in the missing persons fly that had been distributed throughout Australia.
Yeah, that wasn't a smart move on his part.
No. When the police asked the woman where she had obtained the jersey, she said it had been a gift from Ivan.
Wasn't he giving away used clothing?
It's a dead person sale. Ivan was arrested and taken into custody for questioning, where he was evasive and uncooperative.
Fucker.
He was initially charged with the attack on Paul Bunyan.
But you know what he was able to do?
What's that?
Eat a steak.
Was he?
Yeah.
I haven't got to that part.
That's the part that's slam on me, since I can't.
Oh, okay.
That's the part that you're missing, is Tim over there being a dick.
While he was in custody, they fed him a big cheeseburger from BW3s and some of those French fries with cheese on top of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they treat their prisoners good over in Australia.
Yeah.
I believe he had some strawberry pie with some ice cream on top after that.
Oh, yeah. Probably a big, thick milkshake.
Nice milkshake. He had a milkshake.
oh my God, brother, you suck my dick.
But you have shakes, so.
Yeah, what are you complaining about? You can have shakes.
You can have shakes.
Now, can you go to UDF and get a shake?
Can you read the fucking story?
It's just a question.
No. Not right now. I cannot. No.
But can I ask you a question? I was serious about that. About how many of those do you have a day?
Five.
Five a day? That ain't much. Those shakes ain't very big.
They're not.
Hmm.
You can see why I might get testy and lose my shit. Stab somebody in the eye with my
I'm surprised you're having it. So anyway...
you're going to be fine.
He was initially charged with the attack and then subsequently with the seven murders, once ballistic evidence matched the weapon, his weapon, to the attacks. He was remanded in custody to await trial. There, they brought him a big can of Pringles and said, call your lawyer.
And 2 liters of Coke.
Of Coke, yeah. He hired the same lawyer who had represented him during the 1971 rape trial and acquittal, John Marsden, but fired him when he advised Malott to plead guilty.
Well, do I need to actually pay someone to tell me this?
Fuck, I could plead guilty on my own. Now, the trial was set for 1995, but the case was delayed by wrangles over legal aid, and finally went ahead in the full glare of international publicity in March 1996. He was charged with the seven murders as well as the attack on Paul Onions and pleaded not guilty to all of the charges.
You know, really, when they got him on seven murders, couldn't they just drop the charges for Paul Onions? I mean, no harm, no foul.
Well, you got to remember, Onions was over there getting free meals.
No, that's true.
You know what I mean? It was like they was giving him, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches and, you know, whatnot.
What? Cheese conies, pizza.
They probably gave him fried chicken.
French fries
with cheese on the top.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to walk out of this bitch. I'm just saying.
Oh, now you're going to go home too. Am I the only one that's committed to this thing?
I'm committed. I'm sitting here. And I'm going to walk out of this motherfucker and lock you fuckers in here for the weekend.
Would you like to take my backpack with you?
I'd like to cover your head with that backpack and squeeze.
Continue, Colonel.
The defense called Malott to the stand, but he of course denied any involvement. But he performed poorly under cross-examination.
Well, he was eating at the time.
He made a bad impression on the jury.
While he was sitting there eating his french fries and drinking a thick chocolate shake.
You know, people finally are going to see him for the dick he is.
I hope so.
Oh, this will be edited.
Fucking cocksucker.
The defense tried to imply that other members of the Malott family.
You're not fucking sorry. Shut the fuck up. Fucking sorry. You're ass. Shut the fuck up.
You ever notice how the Flixster app has a popcorn photo on it? Love going to the movies. Just eat the popcorn. Sour Patch Kids. Please continue.
I can't continue.
Easy, you have to continue. We got to get out of here.
Okay. The defense tried to imply that other members of the Malott family committed the crimes and had...
Well, yeah. I mean, they're a whole family of criminals.
They're miscreants, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they tried that he was set up, but that was not a good thing to do. So following a 15-week trial, the jury returned after 3 days of consideration. You know what took them so long, Timmy?
Well, they wanted to get their free lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Of lunch vouchers. It's which they probably used for what? Strawberry shortcake? Meatloaf? I don't know.
Meatloaf. Fish sticks. What the fuck? I say fish sticks, just don't even bother her.
No, those things are gross.
So.
But you know what they didn't use it for? A protein shake. I'm sorry, Brandon.
Fuck off with your I'm sorry.
So anyway.
I'm checking my steps.
Ivan Malott was sentenced to 6 years imprisonment and 2 to 5 protein shakes a day for the attack on Paul Onions, and 7 consecutive life sentences for each of the murders. When asked if he had any comment, Malat continued to protest his innocence. He was first incarcerated in Maitland Prison, where he would stay nearly a year. In 1997, authorities foiled a well-planned jailbreak attempt masterminded by Malat. After discovering the plot, inmates were separated. His accomplice, George Savas, was found hanged in his cell the next morning. Ivan was then transferred to the maximum security ring of the Goldberg Prison near Sydney. After a blade was discovered in his cell, he spent time in solitary confinement, where all he got, Timmy, was bread and water.
Yeah, that would suck.
Still better than a protein shake. But
he said that, not me. Don't look at me.
One comment. Ivan Milad had always maintained his innocence and later staged self-mutilation attacks. And here's where it gets ugly.
What happened?
He went on a hunger strike.
Did he really?
He did. In a bid to get his appeals heard. So, that's not what you're doing to us, is it, Devil? You're not going on a hunger strike on us, are you? So doing some kind of political protest here?
Right now I'm trying to find my fucking zen. So why don't you just finish reading your shit?
Yeah, well, you know...
Serenity now, Devil.
When have you known her to have a fucking zen?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find it.
If you had a zen, it got lost long before you was ever here.
Zen app.
While you're on your phone, you might want to get on Amazon and see if you can buy a zen.
Or download zen.
Yeah, download
a zen app.
Both of you fuckers better hope I can.
In July...
I'm right there with you. I'm on a diet, too. I'm not hardly...
I'm on a diet, too.
I know, seriously. I'm eating 1,100 calories a day.
Well, you're stupid.
I know.
That's going to hurt you. That's going to slow your metabolism down.
I know, but it'll make me... it'll be less calories I have in me.
But it'll slow your metabolism.
I'm walking 19,000 steps.
He's going to drop dead on one of his walks. Why don't we just wait for that? You can tell him I told you so. Can you please keep reading?
Okay, I will keep reading. In July 2001, his initial appeal against his sentence was denied. Police maintained that he had been involved in many more murders than the 7 for which he was convicted. He was prolific in his murdering, they said.
How come they always say that about serial killers? We believe there's more. You know what I mean? It's like...
Well, that's true.
I mean, Yeah, they don't catch... They probably don't.
A place like Australia, it ain't that big. 7 people come up missing. If there was 8, you'd notice.
You know? Backpackers. These are, you know, people, young kids are lonely from home. And
maybe the dingo ate those backpackers.
Yeah, dingoes will do that, motherfucking dingoes.
They will do it.
You can't trust a fucking dingo.
Oh, a dingo make a meal out of your ass. Mm-hmm.
So, you ever had dingo meat?
Dingo meat?
Yeah.
It's a little tough.
Yeah.
It's a little gamey.
Yeah.
A little gamey. You put a little bacon on top of it, though. It's not bad. It's like a filet. A dingo mignon is what I call it.
Nice. I'm going to hit your dingo mignon if you don't fucking get going.
That doesn't... I mean, that can't make you hungry. You're talking about dingo meat.
I said I was hungry. Now I'm saying I want to get the fuck out of here and go get my back adjusted.
In the summer,
you got a chiropractor appointment, don't you? Yes.
Okay, I got one more page. Right. In the summer of 2001, Malat was ordered to give evidence at an inquest into the disappearances of 3 other female backpackers, but no case has been brought against him due to lack of evidence. There were other inquiries launched, but again, no charges. In November, Malat gave a televised interview in which he denied that any of his family had been implicated in the 7 murders. In 2005, his former lawyer, John Martson, who had been fired before the murder trial, made a deathbed statement in which he claimed that Ivan had been assisted by an unknown woman in the killing of 2 of the British backpackers.
See, fucking women, man.
Mm-hmm, yeah, sons of bitches. So anyway, his final appeal was refused, and he is likely to remain in prison the rest of his natural life. His brother Boris came forward and said that Malott was responsible for another shooting, that of a taxi driver, Neville Knight, in 1962.
So he must have been 62. Boris
must have got pissed off.
In 62, he would only have been 18.
Yeah. Steve Van Appern, a former homicide detective who serves as a consultant with the LAPD, FBI, among others, was called in to conduct polygraph tests with Boris and Alan Dillon, the man convicted of paralyzing Knight with a gunshot wound to the back those many years ago. The test convinced Appern that both men were telling the truth and that Ivan did in fact shoot Knight. So this son of a bitch is in prison for paralyzing the guy. But anyway, in 2012, Ivan's nephew, Matthew Malott, was convicted of murdering one of his close childhood friends with a medieval double-bladed axe in Belenglo State Forest. He was sentenced to 43 years in prison.
This is his nephew.
He said, when confessing to the murder, he said, "It's a family tradition.
I'm just doing what my family
does." Just doing what my family does.
You know who would appreciate him killing that person with a medieval axe?
Jim Barron. Or Hank Williams Jr.
True.
Because he said, if I get stoned and kill all kinds of people, it's a family tradition.
Brandy, what's your final thoughts on Ivan Malott, the backpacker killer?
He was an asshole, like the two of you.
Well,
the two of us,
we haven't heard
I have been trying to maintain my dignity and kindness.
Well, you lost that a long time ago.
I think when you started walking around in high heels.
your dignity went to the shitter.
Okay, well, I've been trying to...
Yeah, we haven't discussed that story yet, but the Colonel, you were taking a bet, and you... We had a bet that you wouldn't wear high heels, and you wore them. Yeah, you did.
I won the bet.
And you were ostracized.
I was ostracized in a manager's meeting for my lack of professionalism.
Even though...
Can't even imagine that.
You know, you were self-identifying at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
what's wrong with these people?
Colonel... Any final thoughts on Ivan Malott?
He was just your run-of-the-mill serial killer.
He was weird. That movie's very scary.
And the name of the movie again is?
Wolf Creek. Yep.
And it's based upon this story.
Yes.
Okay. So, Brandy, do you have any shout-outs?
Charles has all my shout-outs today.
Okay. Charles?
I'm going to start with some new ones, Tim.
Okay.
But
new people to the History Dweebs, the podcast group.
Podcast. And this is where we get to shout out. I mean, we only know that you're listening from the,
yeah, 5 minutes.
From the page. So, of course, I always, I got to start with Tasha. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Because she just
out there in California.
Girl. Yeah.
Very beautiful girl.
And then we're going to go to our new ones. We got Liz Evans. Thank you for listening, Lynn. Or Liz. Kimberly, and I ain't even going to try. Kimberly Kamikaze.
I don't think that's it.
She'll know who she is, and that's what she shall be called from henceforth. Kelsey Froh.
Yeah, Kelsey, hi.
We got another one with a crazy last name. We're just going to call her Nancy Palomino.
Okay, is that her name?
Right. No, it's pretty close, though.
Okay.
She's from Wichita, Kansas.
Okay.
Tyra Jenkins, Jason Dykes, and I'll leave that one alone.
Oh, hi, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Leslie Hagar, she's a new one.
What's she in relation to Sammy?
I don't know. I wonder if she can drive 55, Timmy.
I don't know.
Let's see, Maggie Glover. Of course, Erica, we always got her. Angie Song, Katja. K.S. Douglas. Lisa Lawton's a new one.
Yeah, Lisa's been around for a while. Her and Brian.
Oh, have they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But she just commented. It's the first time I saw her comment.
Okay.
Matt Jablin and Rachel Bearden. If they've been around, I miss things. Of course, Tara, Jeff Chestnut, Celine Cole, Chris and Britt, Amber, of course.
Shanda Rush.
Chanda and Larry.
And Angie Song?
I did Angie already.
All right.
Well, I didn't do Angie. ain't no much chance in the future of me doing Angie either, but
continue.
Let's see. Aaron, of course, Wentz, Francis, our lovely Irish lass, Miss Fitzgerald, another Irish lass.
Very lovely lady.
Denny, Deborah Chappell.
McNamara.
Let's see who else we got. Patty Wooten. Patty Wooten, daughter of the devil. Stephanie, Olivia, of course, Sunstar, Brandy McBride.
Larry?
Larry Trujillo?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got him with Chanda.
Okay.
Heather Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Heather Poole? Karen Moorhead? How you doing out there, Karen? Lydia and Bree, of course, Melissa Bateman, Heather Poole, and of course we got the group of Colonels ladies.
Wait a minute, we got Stephanie Quick. We got
Stephanie Quick.
Mary Ray.
Yeah, Mary Ray. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying.
No, add
Jean Bond.
Jean Bond.
Yeah.
Did you get Shonda and Larry and
mm-hmm.
Did you get Kimberly Kasmariski Bassett?
Yeah, that's
Kamikaze. That is Kimberly Kamikaze.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes.
Kim Taylor. Brandy McBride. Teresa Slavens.
Okay, keep going.
No, I'm just saying.
No, keep going.
No, continue with your list, please. Tommy Boomershine.
Yeah, Tommy, that was a funny post he put up today. Because some of them, you know,
Fallon.
Well, I'm getting to her because these are the ladies I like to call Charlie's Angels.
They're on team.
The Colonel's Angels.
Okay.
Tiffany, of course, the Tiffinator.
Mm-hmm.
Hope Bo has a good night tonight. Jessica Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Nicola. Allie. Shannon. Fallon. Sarah Spaghetti. Jim Burdick. Jennifer Burdick. Karen Barnes, Amanda Bocce Ball, and even though she threatened to kick my ass, Angie Coates.
Okay.
So tell me who I forgot. If I have left you
Phyllis
out.
Phyllis Munson,
if I have left
Christine
you out.
Christine Bourgeois.
Okay.
Celine Cole.
I thought I got Celine Cole.
Maybe you did. I'm just. Katya.
I got Katya.
All right.
So if you have been passed over,
Holmes, Big John.
John Holmes.
Yeah.
Please just note on the Facebook page, hey, Colonel, you missed me.
John Cunningham.
But let's not go with, hey, Colonel, you asshole, you son of a bitch, Allie. Colonel, you son of a bitch, how many times? If I get your name wrong, could you not call me names?
Donna Curran.
I thought I got Donna.
Well, he may have. I'm just being extra cautious.
Okay.
Angela Copes.
Love Angela.
Yeah. John Cunningham.
I just got Angela because right. She threatened me.
Okay. We got Kim Taylor. Allie.
Of course Charlie. We got Allie. Charlie.
And Cindy Lou.
You got Cindy Lou in the beginning, crazy
yes.
Cindy Lou.
Yes.
She's a pirate. I wonder if people come up to her all the time and go, "Arr, I want your booty."
I don't know. We'll have to ask her that.
Cindy, let us know. Do people come up to you and say, "Arr, I like your booty," because you got
Shannon Russett.
I got Shannon. She's one of Charlie's Angels.
All right, we're done. Okay, any final thoughts?
No final thoughts for me.
No. Lady Beverly and my mom.
Well, of course, I was finishing up my thing.
No, I just said any final thoughts. Brandy, any final thoughts? You
lovely Lady Beverly.
Brandy has
and
to run.
Dottie Scott.
Brandy has to run.
Brandy has to run. Give us your final thoughts of this episode.
You guys are assholes.
Okay.
That's it.
That's unnecessary. Do you really need to resort to calling names?
How many more shows do we have with you before?
I don't know. I'm here next week.
Okay, so we're going to try to get a couple.
Still stay on the show? Or you're taking your stuff and quitting and going home?
We've got two more shows next week, and then we have a Halloween show that we've already recorded. So,
yes.
And we only can post four more shows for the month of October. So it'll be this one and three more, and then November. When will you be back?
Before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
About the week before.
So the first part of November, first couple weeks of November, the Colonel and I will have to do the podcast
by ourselves.
And imagine we will have nobody call, yelling at us, calling us names.
Wow, and we can do the more high levels.
And we can do some things that are kind of intellectually testing.
Yes.
With well, words, I imagine that's going to be a low bar for the two of you.
With, you know, and we can, you know, pronounce the words
correctly. Yeah, we'll get the words. Yeah, and, you know, when you do the scripts, you can put...
Yeah, I can more than four syllables.
Yeah, you can put
multiple syllables.
That's fine, because you know what? I'm going to come back and be fucking hot, and I won't need you motherfuckers anymore.
We still need the show.
We still need the show. You're nothing without the show, girl. Don't you ever... You're nothing without me and Timmy. Me and Timmy made you.
Easy, Ike Turner.
You are working as a waitress.
Yeah, you are working as a waitress at a cocktail bar.
Yeah, when you met us.
You want to go back to where you was before? Do you want to get into that?
You up and spit you out.
Yeah, we found you on the curb and brought you in, made you halfway famous, made you semi-famous.
And you can be right back out on that curb.
Yeah, because you know what? Mean, grumpy women with bad attitudes are a dime a dozen. We can get
them. Actually, they are. Actually, they are.
Yeah, actually, they are.
All right, let's get out of here. Brandy, where can people find us?
Find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages, the History Dweebs page and our group page, where all the folks we've mentioned here, give shout-outs to, are on our group page. So please join us there. It's History Dweebs, the podcast group on Facebook. Where else can they find us, Brandy?
You can find us on iTunes.
iTunes, please leave us a review. I'd like to thank Flossy Pants for leaving us a positive review on iTunes. Thank you very much. That was much appreciated. Where else can people find us?
You can find us on Libsyn and Twitter.
Yeah, we're at History Dweebs 1 on Twitter. Fat Boy Gardner, he follows us there. And Karen Barnes follows us there. So if you haven't started following, I think, Colonel, you're on Twitter now, right?
I am. I just got on Twitter. I am Hawk Walters.
Okay. At Hawk Walters. Okay. And anything else we got to do, or we can get out of here so Brandy can go to her doctor's
appointment? No, let her go to a doctor's appointment. You know, she's probably running.
All right. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.